Hi, I'm Aman.
And I'm Lena.
And this is Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant.
Skadoosh.
Anyway. All right, today we are talking about, naturally, Stranger Things Season 4, Volume 2. Which was...
i.e. episodes 7 and 8?
Yeah, or was it 8 and 9? Whatever. Anyway, it was only two episodes, but it was also 4 hours long combined between them.
Yes. So 4 hours worth of episode.
Yeah. Okay, so what are your first impressions, Aman?
My first impression is, what? I was like, watching it, I was like, what?
Uh-huh.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. However, I did wonder what the point of the Hopper storyline was.
Yeah. I don't know what them... Oh my gosh, yeah. There are so many things that I just... Okay, we have so much to discuss about. But I don't know. Did that help them?
I don't know.
Like... Hopper attacking whatever creature that was?
So as best as I can tell, no.
Yeah. Or even if it was helping, it was not apparent to me.
I mean, the one big gaping hole that has existed in my mind since the last season of Stranger Things.
And by that, do you mean season three? Okay, yeah.
By which I mean ever since Stranger Things 3. What is the point of the Russians? You know? I mean, supposedly, when Eleven opened up a portal to the Upside Down in Hawkins, it also opened up a portal in Russia? Or the Russians were able to open their own portal to the Upside Down. That was never clear to me. All right. All I can think of is that the Russians then came to Hawkins to further investigate the Upside Down because they discovered somehow that there's a portal in Hawkins, Indiana as well. But it didn't really go anywhere. It didn't do anything.
Yeah. I thought when they introduced the Russians in season three, I was like, okay, does this mean we're expanding geographically when it comes to the Upside Down? Like, are we going to find out, oh my gosh, there's actually portals all over the world.
Right.
And like the Upside Down exists like throughout the world, maybe throughout the universe, who knows, whatever. But it's still very much contained in Hawkins in this season. And I mean... I get its story from a writer's perspective. It's obviously gets really, really, really complicated if you're expanding it also geographically, the entire realm of the Upside Down. But also it's like, why Hawkins? You know, I don't know. It just,
I mean,
we know why, because of Vecna, and Vecna hates his hometown and everything about his life.
And also it just happened to be that the research facility where Papa was
Dr.
doing
Brenner.
That's his name. I couldn't remember his name. I was just like, Papa?
Yeah.
He had his research facility in Hawkins. All right. And since Eleven opened up the doorway to the Upside Down in Hawkins, there's your reason for why everything is happening in Hawkins.
Yeah.
So that's fine. But I didn't understand what is, like, they didn't do much with the storyline of
with the Russians.
Mm-hmm. And that's my whole thing. I feel like watching Stranger Things 4, you could have taken everything that had to do with Hopper being in Russia out. Like, wholesale, remove it. And you would lose nothing from the rest of the plot. You know?
Yeah.
And that is something that I take an issue with. They did the same thing in, was it Stranger Things 2 or 3, where Elle went on her own adventures and found Nate, who was an escapee from the research facility. Like, you could have taken that whole storyline, removed it entirely.
Right.
All right. And still had a full cohesive story that made total sense. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. I feel like it could have been its own movie.
Right. I mean, it was exactly. I agree 100% with everything you just said. I mean, unless they're planning for season 5, which is supposed to be the last season, unless they're planning for some big, like, Avengers Assemble sort of situation, like final battle against Vecna, to include the character, you know, those other runaways that she met and the Russians, are they all going to band together to defeat Vecna? Unclear. But right now, I agree. It just seemed like these weird one-off tangential storylines that had nothing really to do with the main plot.
Right. And that sort of was just bugging me the whole time.
Same.
You know? I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. It was awesome to get confirmation that Hopper is alive, that he's stuck in Russia. No explanation for why him running through the portal would end up with him in Russia. Right. But
that just happened.
Yeah. So, I mean, quite a few holes there.
Yeah. You know,
which obviously I'm not somebody who gets totally bogged down by plot holes. Right. But this is one where it's like, as it was bugging me enough, where as the story was progressing, it just kept making it more and more obvious that there's a big gaping hole in the plot line here.
Yeah.
You know, that kept bugging me.
Right. I also thought when season 4, volume 2 started, I didn't think they were going to continue their storyline in Russia. I thought they were just going to do like a, you know, okay, and then Joyce and Hopper and all of them made it back. So like they were just going to be like, okay. I thought the volume 2 part would just open up with them maybe getting off a plane in Hawkins or something. I was like, why? They're still there? Come on. Like, who cares? So I don't know. I just and I thought they were going to be there with the kids as they're trying to beat Vecna.
Right.
Which probably would have been better, because let's talk about the plan to beat Vecna. It was stupid from the beginning.
Yeah. Very, very much a bunch of kids who came up with this plot. Yeah. And very 80s in terms of the kind of stupid shit that 80s kids did, at least according to movies that were made in the 80s.
I mean, that is their whole shtick, so.
It is the shtick of the decade, of that decade.
but it is of the Stranger Things, too, in general, I'm talking
about. That's true. They come up with very, very stupid plans that somehow still work.
Yeah, and where the majority of them don't die. Which, by the way, can we talk about that? Okay, so the deaths in this Volume 2. Glad that Dr. Brenner finally died.
Yes.
I think he should have died a while ago. I was annoyed that Elle did not get to kill him herself. What the hell?
I think that was important.
Why?
Because that would change her.
Okay, but like,
that would make her
as if she hasn't killed people already. This would have been a death that like
mattered.
Yeah, and like, he was supposed to be on her side. He had promised her he's not going to treat her like a prisoner anymore. And what does he do? Treat her like a prisoner. He literally locks her up.
Literally puts a shock collar on her.
Like, it's a cycle of abuse from him, right?
Yes, 100%.
It's always been just abuse and weird power dynamics and all this stuff between him and all the kids. You know, obviously Vecna hated him too. So
I did really appreciate that Elle did not give Dr. Brenner what he wanted before he died, which was understanding and vindication for his actions.
Yeah.
And I am so glad that she did not give him that.
Yeah. I think that was important for her character. So yeah, totally fine with his death. Happy about that. Finally, he's dead. Right. And then the kid Jason, who's like constantly running for president.
Oh, yeah. That guy. He didn't die. Dude.
He did die.
He did?
Didn't you see? After he had his tussle with Lucas, he was laying on the ground and then the crack started appearing in the ground and the crack went right through his body. He's dead.
Oh,
that dude is dead.
I missed that.
Yeah.
Whew. Yes. I'm so glad he's dead. I was worried he was going to show up at the end again.
No, so I mean, I kind of was like disappointed in that because I thought it would have been far more interesting if he had finally some sort of moment of clarity before dying, maybe, and realizing, oh, it isn't just some like hellfire cult thing happening. There's like actual demons and monsters here, and that's what they're dealing with. I don't know. Like, I just, he was really good as a character. Like,
he was.
I hated him wholeheartedly. And I just, that kid is a great actor.
Yes.
And I just wanted to. If I ever meet
him, I might hate him as a human. He's such a good actor.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I just thought it was kind of a waste of a character, unfortunately.
I can see that.
And the same goes for Eddie. Man, Eddie did not need to die at all. That sacrifice of his didn't do any. It wasn't a real sacrifice. It wasn't needed because Nancy, Steve, and Robin were just stuck in Vecna's vines anyway the whole time. Like, it didn't do anything. So
They were stuck in Vecna's vines the whole time. And at the end of the day, what freed everybody, what solved the problem was Elle jumping in.
Yep.
That is the only reason everybody didn't die a horrible death.
Yeah.
But I appreciated Eddie's death in terms of his own personal character growth.
Right. I was going to say that moment, I mean, his whole death scene and leading up to it, I was actually crying. Oh. It was the whole, you know, the flashback where he's like, I just ran away. And then he's telling Dustin, I didn't run away this time. I faced, you know, I did. That was beautiful. I loved that.
Yes.
But he didn't need to die. He could have been severely wounded and we could have kept him going for season 5. That would have been great because he was brilliant. He was such a good character. And it's annoying because they've been doing this since season 2. They introduce new characters and then just kill them off. What is the point of that? And they don't touch the main cast. And
they've been doing it since season 1.
I mean, yeah. Well, it's fine if you keep them around season 1. Yeah. But yeah, that's true. They did that with Barb. It's fine if they keep the main cast around in season 1. But it's like, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. It's everything is like a deus ex machina situation here.
Yeah.
And that's just not fun. And then speaking of which, okay, so I have my theories on what the hell happened with Max, but also want to hear your theories.
Yeah.
Because so Vecna does get her, sort of. Elle manages to kind of stop him.
Yes.
Wasn't Elle who stopped him then. Then finally it was Nancy, Steve, and Robin throwing Molotov cocktails at him that finally got him.
Yes.
And then that whole scene with Lucas holding her in his arms, amazing acting. Oh, also cried during that scene.
Phenomenal, heartbreaking, all of the things.
So I think it would have been, you know, just the ultimate sacrifice and kind of like perfect writing for Max to just die in Lucas's arms. And I love Max. I love Max's character. I don't actually want her to die, you know, but in order for the story and the characters and all of that, this is like a huge sacrifice then for the whole gang. And but then having Elle, so I guess she revived Max's heart.
Yeah.
And she's in a coma now.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Elle visited her in the hospital and looked into her mind, there was nothing there. So she's essentially brain dead.
That's my theory as well.
But what is the point? What was the point of that?
I think we will find out in season 5 whether Elle actually has the power to bring the dead back to life, or if she is just telekinetically restarting biological functions rather than bringing somebody, quote unquote, back from the dead.
Right. Because that would be ridiculous if she could just bring someone back from the dead.
Yeah, you can't have all the superpowers. It's just greedy.
Yeah, like, geez, okay, relax. So, yeah, okay, so another thing. Did Elle just not tell them, like, the rest of the gang?
What she did?
Yeah, because she was like, what happened? Acting as if she wasn't herself there when she was.
Apparently. Right? I mean, that was weird. And the thing is, like, half the gang knows. Because she told Mike and Will and
yeah, I mean, they were Jonathan. She's in that pizza
dough freezer.
Yeah, the pizza dough freezer. And obviously they know what she's doing there and all whatever.
Yeah.
So I didn't understand that interaction at all of like, what happened? Tell us what did we miss? And it's like,
yeah.
So why don't you fill them in? And
right.
Because when Lucas was like, her heart stopped for a full minute and just came back and I don't know why. And it's like, L? Do you mind explaining something?
I think, though, that there's a hesitation on L's. I can understand why Eleven wouldn't have told the rest of the gang that she did that. Because there's the big question mark of, she's never done this before. What if it doesn't work?
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Then the thing is that she has essentially then prolonged Max's suffering unnecessarily.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? So I can see why she wouldn't want to tell anyone why she did that.
Right.
But maybe let everybody know, I'm the one who fought off Vecna. Your plan was stupid.
Yeah. Seriously.
Of the plan that was necessary was Max acting as bait.
Yeah.
That was sure. The only necessary part.
Yeah. That was the only necessary part. And I get that the whole point of Jason, Mr. I'm running for president all the time, was for that final scene for him to prevent Lucas from saving Max.
He killed Max.
Right. He essentially killed Max. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't want Max to come back, you know, because I think her death is a huge sacrifice for the entire group.
Yes.
And it gives them this sort of renewed sense of purpose to really defeat Vecna and finally destroy the Upside Down or whatever, you know, and just finish it all.
I have a feeling, though, that Max coming back to life is going to be essential to undoing what Vecna did in terms of opening the portals permanent between our world and the Upside Down.
Max coming back to life, how?
So the entire premise was that Vecna had to take 4 victims to be able to open a large and permanent door between the our world and the Upside Down. Okay, that was his whole point. He's trying to open his own doorway. All right.
Uh-huh.
Because Eleven was able to do it. He was not able to do it. So he found a way to do it himself by taking 4 victims and consuming them, basically.
Also, what are your theories on why it was 4? I kept thinking about how in Chinese culture, the number 4 is very unlucky, right?
Well, I was thinking of the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse.
That's
kind of a metaphor for that.
The
4 horsemen of the apocalypse.
4 horsemen, anyway.
I mean, it is the things that are that lead to the demise of mankind. All right, war, famine, pestilence, and death.
Uh-huh.
Okay, these are the 4 things, at least traditionally. It was like these are the things that lead to the demise of humankind.
Okay.
And therefore the world.
Okay. All right. Right.
And there you have it. That's why those are the 4 horsemen.
Is that why also maybe in Chinese culture the number 4 is an unlucky number, or is that like totally different origins?
I would say completely different origins. Okay. I don't know enough about why 4 is an unlucky number.
Yeah.
In Chinese culture, I just know that it is.
Right.
And much like many buildings in Western society don't have a 13th floor.
Yeah.
All right. If you go, there's a lot of buildings in China, any number that has the number 4 in it is skipped.
Oh,
so
really?
1, 2, 3, 5. Mm-hmm. And then it'll be like 11, 12, 13, 15.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. So they'll skip any number that has the number 4 in it.
Also beyond China, too. I think it's in a few other Asian countries
far,
as well.
Far East tradition. But, you know, like Mitch Hedberg, the late Mitch Hedberg, very wisely noted, everybody who's on the 14th floor, you know what floor you're really on.
Yeah.
If you jump out the window, you will die 1 floor sooner.
Oh my God. Oh, anyway. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. So going back to Vecna, 4 victims. Yeah.
The four Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, Four Gates of Hell, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I mean, that's the metaphor that's being fed on here. Mm-hmm. And I think, though, that because he needed to sort of consume his victims, as Papa so noted, that if Max comes back to life, like really comes back to life, whatever energy from her that was used to open up these doorways, the only way for that to happen would be to pull whatever energy she had out of the doorways back into Max's body. So that's my working theory about how they can undo the damage that Vecna has done by opening up this giant portal.
So in that case, do you think that the same could happen with the other three victims of Vecna's victims?
I think theoretically it could, but I think that in this case, they're like dead, whereas Eleven restarted Max's heart quickly enough, where she's at least in a coma now.
But, you know, I also just got the impression from season 4, volume 1, like when Max was, that whole scene with the song Running Up That Hill, when Vecna is first trying to capture her and make her his victim, he... Like, you know, we see those other bodies, like the cheerleader and the, you know, magazine editor assistant dude with Nancy. I'm sorry, I forget their names. So, like, you know how, like, their bodies were, like, trapped and contorted and whatever, like, in those weird tree-like things?
Right.
I kind of, I don't know, the first kind of gut reaction I had was, are their souls trapped in there? Does Vecna somehow have... Or some sort of essence of theirs trapped in the upside down. And they aren't necessarily like resting in peace dead. You know?
I very much got that impression as well.
Yeah. So I wonder if there's something like that where, you know, if they finally destroy and defeat Vecna, they would finally be dead, like at peace dead kind of.
I hope so, because otherwise that's very sad.
It's very depressing. It's very depressing. Yeah.
That's a downer, Lena. Well done.
Sorry. These are just things I'm wondering about. Also, another thing I'm wondering about, where was Max's mom? Was she not in the hospital? Is she dead? I'm so confused about her.
I don't know. I have a lot of questions about all the parents.
Yeah. Can we talk about that? Yeah. Where the hell? What are they doing?
What was parenthood like in the 80s? I mean,
non-existent.
Clearly. I mean, we were born in the 80s. Like, I don't know.
I was at the very end. So there.
I mean, still 80s. We were technically born there. Our parents were never that bad. Like,
yeah. So, I mean,
I don't know what's going on with these parents. All right.
They're a little too clueless.
Way too clueless.
Yeah. I mean, they showed Lucas's family there in the hospital. Like, they're all there with Max.
Right.
Did you see, like, his parents were kind of in the shot, like, in the background?
Yeah.
When Lucas is reading that book to Max. Mm. So that was interesting. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway. Okay, so... Another thing I wanted to talk about was the conversations that Will has with Mike and also his brother, Jonathan.
Yes.
And that part also made me cry. It was so good. I mean, the way that I feel like it's very obvious that Will is definitely gay and he's in love with his best friend, Mike.
Yes. I very much think the same thing.
Right.
And I mean, there's no other explanation for Will's, the way he's talking to Mike about Mike and the way he's sort of attached without the reciprocation.
Yes. Unrequited love.
Yes. That's the phrase.
But he's also, I mean, it was just so sweet because he continues to encourage Mike and knowing that he'll never, you know, receive that kind of love in return.
Right.
I think Mike and Will rekindled their friendship and because they had clearly lost the bond ever since they moved to California.
Right.
And so that was very sweet on a cutesy friendship level.
Yeah.
And just heartbreaking to see that he's like, I just want my friend to be happy now. And then I love that they showed Jonathan looking in the rearview mirror at Will and seeing this happen. And you know that Jonathan now knows what's going on.
Yep.
And that whole scene was just so sweet.
Yes. And I like how Jonathan handled it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, as much fun of Jonathan as I have made over the years.
Right.
Nancy.
Stop. So mean.
I am. I know. But he handled that really well. He didn't just go up to his little brother and say, I'm here for you. I know you're gay.
Yeah.
I'm still here for you. You know, it's one of those things where he's trying to tell Will that he's there for him. But that, and at the same time, giving him the space to open up when Will is ready.
Yeah.
All right. And I think that is a very nice way, a good way to handle that particular situation.
And also acknowledging that he's been sort of absent as a big brother.
Yes.
In the past year or however long it's been since they moved to California. Yeah. So
since the Lego up the nose, I guess.
Sure. No, that's not true. He was there for him during season one and all that. But yeah, and just with him saying, you know, you can talk to me about anything. You used to come to me for everything and that stopped and I'm sorry, but you know, you can still do that. And I think we have a lot we need to catch up on. And
yeah,
it was very sweet.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
Mm-hmm. So one thing that I did want to talk about is asshole Jason.
Yes.
His character. I thought it was very interesting how when he confronted Lucas and Lucas was like, dude, Chrissy went to Eddie's place to buy drugs. Mm-hmm. And he tried to explain to him she was troubled. There were things that were bothering her and he was just in denial about it.
Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting. The commentary that his character is making on people, on some people, on, you know, like we all have an image of what the world is. And when we're confronted with things that are counter to that, I think that he's an excellent embodiment of how some people do respond to that, which is complete and utter denial and violently fighting against it. And also, I think it was a great metaphor for showing a really unhealthy way to confront facts that are counter to your narrative of what's happening in the world and how the world works.
Right.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, Jason is obsessed with, or people like Jason are obsessed with putting other people and probably themselves into boxes, right? Yeah. Categorizing, oh, Chrissy was the head cheerleader. She would never do something like go buy drugs. You know, she's the perfect blonde girl, popular girl. You know, she's never going to do anything bad like that. And and he's the perfect, you know, captain of the basketball team, always leads his team to victory. You know, it was just, it's, and that's the thing. It's like when you don't understand something, when it doesn't fit into the categories and boxes that you have made or created, then that lack of understanding leads to fear. And his, almost everything that the way that he was acting after Chrissy dies was just fear. It was all out of fear that he was acting. Yeah, he was acting tough and going after people and attacking them and whatever, but it was all coming from a place of fear of the unknown.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, fear of the unknown is the ultimate thing to be afraid of. All the best horror movies really go after the unknown.
But it's also the, it's like a fear of the unknown and an unwillingness to even try and understand it.
Yes.
You know? And that, I think, in general, is just something that's plaguing America right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, I don't understand it and I don't even want to understand it. So I just am going to hate on it and be scared of it and lash out against people because I don't understand it. And it's like, what the fuck? You know, like everything, all this whole debate that's happening with critical race theory. I think the people who are really, really fighting to ban critical race theory from schools don't actually understand First of all, what the hell do you think critical race theory even is? Second of all, you're probably like, who came up with that term? Like, I mean, it's just like, it's just whatever you think critical race theory is, that is not the thing that people have been saying at all is what they want to teach little six-year-olds, you know?
Yeah.
And so I don't know. There's so many parallels to that. I think that's in general what Jason represents, this
right.
aggressive ignorance, and which leads to fear.
And aggressive violence.
Fear. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fear and leads to anger. Anger leads to hatred, and hatred leads to the dark side.
Yes. Yoda always knew.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Yep.
From long, long ago and from a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah.
He knew.
Yep.
So what about the conversation between Vecna and Eleven about whether Henry is the monster or not? I thought that was an interesting conversation where Eleven was saying, Papa did bad things to you. You're not the monster. He's the monster.
Yeah.
To which I say, before Dr. Brenner ever got his hands on Henry, Henry murdered his mom and his sister.
Yeah, so clearly something was up there.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to know more about his backstory. Like, I feel like right now we know what happened. We don't have a full understanding as to why that happened.
Well, I think I did explain it in volume
one. Yeah, maybe I missed it. I don't know. You explain to me.
So one of the things about Henry as a kid was that he could read other people's thoughts.
Oh.
So he constantly knew.
I forgot that.
That his mom, his sister, his dad, that they were all hypocrites. That they would say one thing and be thinking another.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that we all think things that are better and worse than our actions. And we have social norms and brain filters to stop those bad thoughts from becoming actions,
mm-hmm.
you know? But for Henry, that distinction isn't there, all right?
Yeah.
He's not able – he just sees people lying all the time, especially his own family, you know? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine as a child, his parents are just annoyed by him. But they are trying to show him patience,
mm-hmm.
as an example. And Henry can read their thoughts. And he knows they're acting patient towards me, but they're annoyed. They hate me. They're annoyed beyond hell. You know? So I think that they did explain it very well. This is a child who can read the thoughts of those around him. And he has not developed enough to really distinguish between inner thoughts and outer comments and actions. You know, and so for him, he was like, she's just a lying, liar, liar, pants on fire, hypocrite. I'm going to punish my parents by killing the favorite child, all right, and then killing them.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right. And that was what kind of kicked off the whole thing.
But he killed his mom first.
He killed his mom first and his sister. I think he killed his mom and his sister at the same time.
No, he killed the mom at the table and then the sister, they ran to the door or something, you know?
Oh, yeah. And the only reason the dad didn't die is because there was music.
The music, yeah.
Playing on the radio that pulled him out of it.
But okay, sorry. It is coming back to me now. And I think in our last episode about Stranger Things season 4, I think we talked also about the character Kilgrave from Jessica Jones.
Yes.
And how it was a similar situation where he had like these really insane powers as a child.
As a child.
And when you're a kid, you were not intellectually and emotionally developed enough to understand like what those powers can do. And so, So.
Or have the ability to gain empathy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, empathy meaning the way I like to describe empathy is understanding that you are not the center of the universe and that you are not the only, you may be the hero of your own story, but you are not the hero of everyone else's story and that there are other stories other than yours happening around you.
Right.
You know, that's how I like to describe empathy. And if you're somebody like Kilgrave, all right, or somebody like Henry, with these completely insane powers and parents who are unable to discipline you to teach you things like empathy, then you're never going to develop it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for Kilgrave, his parents literally could not tell him no. They had to do whatever Kilgrave told them to do because that was his superpower. He was an unpunishable, undisciplinable child.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it's a similar thing with Henry, not in the sense of can't be disciplined, but in the sense that whatever it is that whatever example that you are trying to set for your child, in this case, Henry, he's not going to learn from that example because he can read your thoughts.
Right. Yeah. They didn't explain, though, right, how he necessarily got his powers. He just sort of had them.
Yeah. He just sort of had them as a kid.
Very troubling.
And just kind of developed them out of nowhere. And I don't think that needs an explanation.
I guess not. But Eleven definitely got hers because of Dr. Brenner, right? I mean, they...
No. Dr. Brenner had been going around looking for kids who had powers and then helped them sort of cultivate and develop it. So he got a hold of Eleven because she had powers.
Hmm. But what? They knew that she when she was a baby that she had powers?
Or at least as a very, very young child, you know? They knew what signs to look out for.
But, like, when did they... See, I need to rewatch all of the previous seasons of Stranger Things because I don't... Like, how old was she when she was taken away from her mother?
Fair. No idea. I don't remember.
Okay. Okay, awesome.
Very, very young.
Yeah.
Young enough that she didn't remember that her name is Jane?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jane, right?
Jane. I think so, yes.
Yeah. I want to say Jane. Yeah.
Anyway. Wait, sorry. Totally meant to mention this during the part that we were talking about Jason. Mm-hmm. But that whole scene between Jason and Lucas, and when Jason pulls out a gun on Lucas, like that, it was pretty triggering to see something like that. Like this, you know, another white
kid,
you know, pointing a gun at a black unarmed kid. I don't know. So that whole scene was very, it had these like many layers of tension to them. But again, Stranger Things never really talks about racism or addresses it in any way.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the writers and the producers and creators of the show were like thinking about that. Like they must have, you know, when they were filming that. And
it's hard not to, because even if they filmed it a year ago, these issues have been at the forefront of people's minds.
Yeah.
So a number of years now.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. It was very, and then I was wondering, like, you know, while that scene was happening, I was like, damn, is Lucas going to die? And then I was about to be real mad if he died, because I swear killing off the one black male character that you have on this entire freaking show, you know, like an actual character, not like the other random guys on the basketball team, you know, and that would have pissed me off a lot. So I'm glad they didn't take that route.
Yeah.
With this.
I did like Lucas's growth in that scene, or at least what he then expressed, which was the culmination of his growth, where he was, where he said, I thought I wanted to be like you. I thought I wanted to be cool and popular and normal. And turns out normal is, what was the term that he used? A raging psychopath?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that was so good. That was really, really good.
I loved it. I love that line.
Yeah.
Turns out normal is just a raging psychopath.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That should be a lesson for any listener out there when watching the show, that normal is overrated. And whoever claims they're normal is not.
Yeah. What was that one saying? Everyone's normal until you get to know them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Cool. Well, I think we covered everything.
I think so, too. Everything that I wanted to talk about.
Same. A lot to unpack.
So much to unpack. And now I like need season 5 because the cliffhanger is too big.
Yeah,
they really need to wrap up what's happening in Russia. Really make it relevant.
I think they have wrapped it up, and they're never going to make it relevant. That's what's happened with Russia. So,
That's going to piss me off.
Yeah, Anyway, well, I guess our next episode on Stranger Things will probably be in 2 years. Because that's most likely when it'll come out.
Well, I think this season 4 took so long to come out because of the pandemic.
I don't know if they've announced anything about.
They have announced that there's going to be a season 5.
I mean, yeah, they have announced it, but they haven't announced any sort of timeline, right?
Oh, no. Nothing like that. Yeah.
So, anyway. Nothing like that. If we find anything, we'll throw it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. As always, thanks for listening to Grounded Geeks.
And we'll catch you next time.